What sort of vibraphone is this here?
This is a Musser M48, mm-hmm. Gary Burton model.
Care to introduce yourself to our audience?
My name is James Westfall.
All right. And we're talking because you're celebrating the release of a live album by your group, The Wee Trio, right? Where did you guys record this record?
We recorded this record live at The Bistro in St. Louis, Missouri. And we got it mixed and mastered at Systems 2 Studio in Brooklyn, New York. Usually it's standard for jazz groups, usually by their fourth or fifth record, to make a live one. So we kind of follow that protocol as well, so we included some previously recorded songs from the other records, including our David Bowie record and Capital Diner Volume 1 and Capital Diner Volume 2, and then we added also a handful of new songs for it. Yeah, the instrumentation, vibes, bass, and drums, isn't the standard instrumentation as a jazz trio. Mostly you find a piano trio. It wasn't too hard of a stretch because I do play the piano on the side, so adapting it to vibes was fairly easy, except there's not enough jazz vibraphone trio recordings to model ourselves after, so we just model it after jazz piano trios.
Yeah. Now, how did you end up settling on the vibes as an instrument?
When I was a kid, I played percussion in the band. Fooled around on drum set for a year or two, could never really catch up to my peers. So I kind of stuck with mallet percussion, classical percussion. It was kind of my strong suit, and decided to take piano to kind of enhance my mallet percussion. As a kid, it was always recommended to me, and my piano teacher was actually a jazz vibraphonist as well, and so that really influenced me. It's like, oh wow, there's this whole other world where I could do this on the vibraphone, and I have the technical, technically fluid to do that on there. And so between that and then getting into high school, I went to Performing Arts High School that had such a, kind of like NOCA, had a very strong emphasis on their jazz program. So I, so that definitely helped get into that. And then also when I was in high school, my grandfather came across a free vibraphone from a school he was associated with. And so that was probably the launching pad for me to take it more serious.
Would you say most vibes players come via drums and percussion?
Mostly, yeah. I mean, Lionel Hampton being one of them. He's also a great drummer. I mean, you could see a lot of video footage of him playing the drum set. Gary Burton actually came from piano. I heard a story that he had tendonitis, which made him play the vibraphone.
And I know what Jason Marsalis came from the drums too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Jason came from the drums. It's kind of, I think it goes both ways. I think more from the drums, and you could kind of tell from their technique. Like Warren Wolf is also an amazing drummer. And I could tell because when I hear his eighth notes, they're just perfect, mm-hmm. you know.
I assume that's because physically it's just a lot like playing the drums, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because you're not really using your fingers like if you were playing the piano.
Right. It's like I'm using the technique of the drums, but I'm thinking like a pianist. At least that's how I do it.
Yeah. You and the other two guys in the Wee Trio, you met while you were all living in New York, right?
We both lived across, all three of us lived across the street from each other in Brooklyn. One of the great things about New York is the amount of musicians that are walking the streets every day, and you always meet new people and great people at that. And so rehearsals became very easy and very convenient, especially for New York. I mean, New York's a pain in the ass to do anything and get anywhere, so going across the street to do rehearsal is a blessing in New York. And we booked a tour after a few rehearsals, and after the tour, we immediately went into a recording studio and put that first record out. I mean, we probably recorded in like 4 hours. We did the record. So it was an immediate connection for us. So we just kept it going since then.
Yeah. There's obviously a lot of musicians here that have moved, either moved here from New York or moved from here to New York. What's the main difference between being a musician in those two cities, do you think?
Biggest difference is the money. I mean, New York, it's funny seeing a rat race of people hustling these four-hour, $50 a night restaurant gigs. And, I mean, New Orleans musicians would scoff at that. Or most musicians would. I mean, New Orleans musicians definitely have a standard of how much they want a night to get paid. New York musicians just want to play. New Orleans musicians have kind of a dollar amount of how much they're worth musically, which is a good thing. And I almost think even as musicians, we still undervalue our worth in New Orleans. But
I had actually heard the opposite from a lot of musicians, that gigs paid better on average in New York, but there were more of them to be had here.
Yeah, definitely more work. I mean, with New York, it's just, it is a media capital. So there are those opportunities that New Orleans can't afford, because it's not such a media capital. It's coming up, though, especially as of late, of there are more opportunities for commercial music in New Orleans. But there's, I mean, New York has some scenes that New Orleans doesn't have. But as far as the quote-unquote straight-ahead modern jazz scene, it's just kind of pennies in New York. Like $100 gig is a blessing in New York to play original music. Where here in New Orleans, it's I'm not gonna say it grows on trees, but it's easier to find those opportunities.
Was that a big part of your decision to relocate here?
Yeah, I felt like that's one of the many decisions, and just I like it's easy. It's nice to not have that mentality of like, where's your rent coming from, or working a part-time job, or kind of having your hands in so many different jobs and careers. It's like one minute I'm catering, the next minute I'm playing music, and then the next minute I'm doing this and that. And it's just kind of, you see so many musicians that actually move to New York and they get so caught up in trying to make ends meet that their day job kind of becomes their career. And I saw that happen to a handful of people, and I was afraid of that happening to me. And so I moved back down. And most musicians in New York make their money by being on the road. And so I figured, well, I could be on the road and still live in New Orleans, pay half the rent, and save a couple hours of my day by not commuting on the subway.
You're not a subway fan.
No. I mean, especially after midnight.
I'm curious, as someone who plays a less common instrument, how often do you get hired because someone is specifically looking for a vibraphonist, and how often does someone hire you because they like your vibraphone playing, so they decide to add a vibraphone to their gig?
The only time I had a gig that I got a gig because somebody needed a vibraphonist was was at Harris Casino with Joe Piscopo. He had a Frank Sinatra comedy act, and part of the songbook, there was a required vibraphonist that had to be in the band. But other than that, it's just kind of, it's kind of like, oh yeah, Bobo's. Yeah, it's kind of just, that's really the only gig that's ever happened. Preservation Hall historically has never had a vibraphone player in their band, or I'm not going to find work playing in a cover band on Bourbon Street to play vibraphone, because certain gigs like that, especially traditional New Orleans music, has a very specific instrumentation it's looking for, because of the history of how that music's grown. Same thing with brass bands. No brass band's going to hire a vibraphonist because, A, I can't really march down the street with one, and B, it's just not in the historical progression of how brass bands came along. So it is kind of niched into more modern music.
So no funeral gigs for you?
No. I mean, I'd love to play with a brass band.
Yeah.
It'd be a dream, but
I guess piano players have that problem too.
Yeah.
What's the most unusual lineup of instruments that you've played with before?
Well, Washboard Chaz has a, during Chaz Fest, he puts together the Other Instruments band, and it's basically all the people that were nominated for the Offbeat Awards of the Other Instrument category.
Yes. Which is the catch-all category for instruments that don't have their own category.
Right. And so he puts those people together on stage at Chaz Fest and puts them as one band. So that was probably the most interesting I guess, lineup. It was, who was it? It was me, Chaz, Helen Gillet.
On cello.
And Carl LeBlanc on banjo. It actually sounded really good, despite all of that. You know, despite not having bass and not having drums. No, actually, one more person. It was Michael Skinkis, who was playing congas. So, yeah, it was congas, cello, vibes, washboard, and banjo. And despite not having a bass player, drums, or piano, or all these standard instruments, I thought it sounded great. I was actually hoping that it would keep going, but I think it's just a once a year band.
Yeah. So no plans for a record?
No.
Unfortunately. Well, the current record is called Live at the Bistro.
Yeah, Live at the Bistro.
By the Wee Trio.
Wee Trio.
Thanks, James, for talking with me.
Yeah, thank you.